You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network. Visit bpn.fm to discover more. Attention all theater lovers! This Sunday, April 21st, Broadway Podcast Network is holding the first ever Broadway Podfest, a full day of podcast recordings with some of your favorite Broadway stars, live from the Museum of Broadway, which is right in the heart of Times Square. The day begins at 11 a.m. Eastern and features a full day of programming that you don't want to miss. Visit bpn.fm/podfest to get all the details and register to attend for free. That's bpn.fm/podfest.
You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
I'm Jennifer Simard.
I'm Rob Russo.
I'm Jamie Dumont.
And this is The Fabulous Invalid. Funky Town.
The Staircase. Has anyone seen The Staircase?
No. Based on the
documentary,
it's on Netflix. About the staircase murder.
About the woman who falls down a flight of stairs or is pushed down a flight of stairs.
Oh, I don't know the story at all.
Yeah. The husband, they're married many, many years. It comes out that the husband's bisexual and communicated with male prostitutes. Then it gets crazy, right? Then it's 9 or 12 or 13 parts. I think it's actually 13 parts. It's long. Mm-hmm. It's unbelievable.
Yeah. Mm.
It's so good.
Yeah.
So I'm a little late to the party on this because I think it's been out for a while.
Oh, yeah. They talk about it on My Favorite Murder.
Yeah. Well, I specifically didn't listen to that episode yet
because
I was like, oh, there's a whole episode devoted. I have to listen. Right. I got to watch this.
Well, I know they talk about this documentary. Like, they're of course, because Georgia and Karen are nuts about it. They love it.
Yeah. So I'm going to go back and actually, I stopped listening to podcasts when we got really into this.
Really?
It was too tough. It's too hard.
That's okay.
So I'm starting now.
Good.
Listening. Okay. Anyway. That's not what we wanted to talk about, although don't be shocked if I use it.
I won't.
All right, so Rob, Jennifer, what's going on?
Oh my. Well, we are in the thick of the fall season. I have to say, I can't believe how packed my theater-going schedule is this month. But we also, at this point, kind of have a sense of the season as a whole. And one thing that is really sticking out to me is that as of today, there's only one musical revival planned for the entire season, and that's Roundabout Theater Company's Kiss Me, Kate, this spring. And I can't remember a season in recent memory where there have been so few or only one musical revival.
Well, correct me if I'm wrong. If there aren't three, they can't have a category, correct?
That's right, yeah. I think it takes three in order to have a musical revival Tony Award category.
Do you think there'll be some surprise announcements coming soon?
I don't know. Well, it's interesting. I mean, there are two big productions off-Broadway right now of musicals, musical revivals, that are both getting a lot of buzz. The Fiddler on the Roof in Yiddish, which is at the National Jewish Museum. I'm not going to get the name right, downtown, which has just been so critically praised and I think is even sold out. They keep extending it.
I was going to say Volksbühne.
The Volksbühne is the company, right, yeah. And then there's an outrageously fantastic production of Oklahoma at St. Anne's Warehouse right now.
It's unbelievable.
Also sold out. And both of those are like the hottest tickets and such praised productions. So those are, you know, two that, and they're already in New York, so those are two that, you know, perhaps could make the leap. I don't know.
There was that Camelot in D.C. that was getting a lot of buzz. I don't know what happened there.
So much of it is real estate.
Right.
So much real estate's been claimed already.
And this is, again, we talk about this all the time, Rob and I. The only available theaters are ones that would be if a show closes at the moment, right?
Right.
The court, like, that has a limited engagement with I can't remember his name.
The new one, Mike Birbiglia. his yeah. one-man show. Yeah.
So something's got to give before... Right.
And that won't happen until January. Right. I mean, they would announce, presumably.
Right.
But
yeah, one would,
it's a waiting game.
What all this makes me think of, though, is, you know, I sort of came of age in the 1990s where every season there was a marquee Broadway revival of a Golden mm-hmm. Age musical, whether it was Guys and Dolls or Damn Yankees or Annie Get Your Gun or Kiss Me, Kate. Every season there was some reimagining or... you know, major revival. And that's sort of what I grew up thinking of Broadway is, you know, there's new musicals, of course, and there's new plays, but also every season there was a big revival. And that doesn't seem to be what's really happening anymore. I mean, the last big one, I think, in my mind, was Hello, Dolly, in terms of, you know, being an event.
A juggernaut,
yeah. You know, because it seems like in the 90s, all those revivals, they were an event of the season. And I'm wondering if it's producers not having the appetite for it, or maybe it's audiences not wanting revivals anymore. I mean, one thing about Broadway that's so interesting is that it really is, it's just a free market, right? It's who has the money and who has the theater. That's the show that gets produced. There's no artistic director of Broadway. There's no one sitting down in a room creating a season. So I don't know.
But wouldn't that be nice?
Oh, that
let's just be honest about that. Wouldn't that be great?
It would be quite interesting, yeah.
But also, isn't it related to the fact that there's so many new plays right now? There seems to be a real interest in new plays. It seems to be that they're successful in ways that mm-hmm. they haven't been in seasons past.
Well, this season is certainly shaping up.
In regards to the Times article that was out today and what the producer... Richie Jackson said so much of what makes art relevant with new shows is that they're a commentary on the times that we're in, right? And mm-hmm. so that's a little hard in a revival. Sometimes sure. it can cross over. For example, the play I'm most excited about this fall is Network. If you go back and watch the film, it holds up.
Yeah.
Unbelievably so
yeah.
for a film that was released in the 70s to what we're currently going through, and I couldn't be more excited. Yeah. Plus, I love Bryan Cranston yeah. in an abnormal
It's great.
Way.
I saw it at the National. it delivers.
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
There has been a quorum. We have decided. Is it quorum? Is that the right word? No, oh, why not? No okay. offense, Jen, but do you realize that I always look to Rob when I don't know anything? Because I just assume he's an encyclopedia.
It's the patriarchy, boo. I'm used to it.
Oh, my God. No. Did you do your activism today? Your daily dose of activism?
I'm the lazy activist is what I am. No, I didn't do it. I will. I'll tweet something or I'll sign something.
So, there has been a quorum. And we have decided that we are going to repent for our sins. What did we call it?
That's well, so Catholic, I was listening Jamie. To mm-hmm. I was listening to my favorite murder podcast the other day, like we all do, right? Georgia and Karen. Hi, guys. Because they're listening, so I'm saying hi. But they have this great thing that I think they call it Correction Corner, which we shouldn't steal their title, but it's I think it's important to make corrections when you misspeak, and we've realized a couple of mistakes that we've made in the podcast, and so we'll take two, maybe take two.
I like it.
But take two. I think two episodes ago, I was talking about Chuck Marrone, and I didn't until I heard the podcast. The second I heard it, I was like, "That's not what it's called. Is that what I said? Oh my goodness!" He has something called Strong Towns, and I said Small Towns. So it's Strong Towns. Thanks, Chuck Marrone.
No offense to two small towns.
And you know what I thought was going to be your takeaway from that when you heard the show? I thought you were going to be upset with the fact that I edited out so it almost made it sound like you were a conservative podcast lover.
Oh, I was. I was, yeah, I didn't love it, but I loved
it.
No,
I know, but I was worried that that would, like, I was worried that what we would end up doing in take two is actually just reaffirming to the world that you are a hardcore liberal.
Oh, I am. I'm a liberal, a progressive. I like the word progressive because I think the word liberal has been co-opted and made a dirty word. But so I can claim it and say liberal is a great word. But
it's like the word
progressive.
Organic.
Well, the thing I like to say to the people who say conservative and liberals, like, and they say it in that way, I'm like, oh, so how would you feel? Why don't I start calling you a fascist then? Would you like that? Do you know what I mean? Because they mean it the same way. But yeah, I definitely have socialist values for sure. If I was going to say. What I think I mostly am, and I'm proud of that.
All right, well, my sin to confess is, in a future episode, I refer to the civil rights movement as the Civil Revolution, which I don't know, I thought that sounded kind of bad. Like, just not bad, but ill-informed.
Yeah. Well, sure. But I did say in that episode that Chuck Marrone was one of my favorite conservatives, because I think in terms of dialogue with people of a different point of view, he has a lot of good ideas about, you know, mixed use and how to build infrastructure, and I like that about him.
Hey, every once in a while a conservative has a good idea.
Well, that's right, so. You know, because we're all like people.
turns out, we're not labels.
Mm-hmm. Rob is turning white right now.
No, not at all. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to think of what my sin has been. Other than laughing,
perfect,
I laugh all the time. So that's my vocal
tech. Well,
you
chew really loudly. You eat that crisp.
Yes, I'm also a loud chewer. I apologize.
You know what? Let's blame Leslie. She's not here.
Yeah,
she's
Leslie.
She's doing everything wrong.
No, I think Leslie.
She hasn't even showed up. Worst attendance.
A, she's invisible.
No, I think Leslie's doing everything wrong. And if it makes it in that I said fuck Leslie, I take it back, because Leslie Crystal, you know I love you.
She'd love it.
Yeah,
that's the thing.
Should we all say it together?
Yeah.
Fuck Leslie.
Wait, let's do that again.
Fuck Leslie.
On this week's show, we chat with legendary theater photographer Joan Marcus. We all love Joan so much that we went right into talking, neglecting to properly introduce her, which we eventually get around to.
I can't tell you how many, I mean, since I was a child.
I know.
Your name has been on every
photo. Every on the picture.
Every photo that I've seen, you know?
Yeah.
So, it's so cool to...
Actually, it's so weird to have that history. Do you know what I mean? It's like, because you don't realize there's a history. I mean, does that kind of make sense? But there is.
Mm-hmm.
And finally, I kind of like realized it and kind of embraced it.
Right.
Yeah, one day you wake up and you're like, I have a body of work.
You have a body of work.
Right.
Yeah. And you never set out, you know, like it's not like I ever set out to do that.
Right.
It chooses you in a way, you know?
It did. Yeah. Like, it's so weird because, like, so many people I know, you know, and I get calls all the time from people, I like theater, I like photography, I want to do what you do.
Jamie, just a bodum. Oh, wow. Oh, you don't mess around. That looks so
good.
That's
beautiful.
No, it looks like
no,
but it looks gorgeous.
It looks good. Like, it's going to be good.
It looks good. Yeah.
So you've given up food totally.
Wait, she wanted cream, right? Or milk?
Oh, here it is.
I'm sorry.
Pour the milk before the...
You've given up, like, being a food person.
You want a cup of coffee
professionally,
now.
Correct. I am no longer in the food and beverage industry as of today.
As you pour this coffee.
I pour this coffee. And as I spend 6 hours making food for you all yesterday.
Yeah. For dinner.
Yeah.
For like snacks and
correct.
Stuff like that.
But no, I sold my soul away from the food and beverage industry. So I'm doing this now, even though this does not pay anything.
But it's like fun. But you're having a good time, and that's good. And
we're getting there.
And maybe it'll do something. Maybe it'll end up paying.
This is what I.
How does that work? Like, how do you make a?
When you get to a certain level of downloads, then there's sponsorship and commercial opportunities, and that financial.
Oh, that,
that grows with the number of downloads. Yeah. So there's metrics for every 100 downloads is worth a certain dollar amount.
So I should be downloading. Totally. To help
I'd love it if you would subscribe
like
and download.
Subscribe
and you don't have to listen. You can delete it. But,
no, I'll listen too. I've listened.
But and then the other thing is that where people actually, and that I think is just enough money to keep the show going.
Yeah.
Where you make money is when you do like live performances and tours.
Life up. On the wicked stage ain't ever what a girl supposes. Stage door Johnnies aren't raging over you with gems and roses. If some gentleman would talk with reason, I would cancel all next season. Life up upon the wicked stage ain't nothing for a girl.
What I want to know is, how did you choose those photos for your website?
You know, they're just ones that I like. I mean, most of them. Some of them have never seen the light of day, and some of them actually have seen. A lot of them have seen the light of day, but they're the ones. They're ones I like. And then, you know, I mean, part of it is, you know, what do people want to see? I mean, they want to see famous people. I mean, for sure. But you know, I'm like right now, like in a weird, like in a funny position because I kind of can't look for work. I mean, doing what I do, because like people either they want to hire me or they don't, you know. And so that's fine at this, you know, at this point, you know, it gives me like a little bit more energy to, let's say, maybe go in a different direction or something like that. But do you know what I mean? But it's like, but how, I don't know, you just pick them.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, you pick, I mean, they're, are you recording now? Or is it
we like, are. Should we stop? Should we do a little intro?
And then,
because that, you're touching on something else I want to ask you. So, so shut up.
Okay.
And
we're just so eager to talk to you.
Okay. Yeah,
I am actually really excited. I'm so glad.
I'm happy to be here.
You're the first person I asked to be on the show.
Really?
Wait, oh, yeah. Back in August or whenever
when I was getting your website. Incidentally, your website's lovely.
Oh, you like it?
I really, whoever designed it
is really
nice, and they're really nice, and your
Liza Nelson,
look
and
really,
she's fucking genius.
They're
she's,
fun.
Yeah.
I mean, the photos of you guys are really fun, and I love the color, and it's, you know, the primary colors, and I think it's just fun, you know? It's like fun.
Thank you. I wanted to ask you this, about the website photos, so we used a lot of your photos, like mostly your photos and Martha Swope's, and we used some Matthew Murphy was lovely and gave us a couple, and Paul Kolnick gave us one, and he was lovely. My question is, though, when you saw the website and you saw that some of your photos were altered, did you have any reaction to it? They weren't altered, but they were, like, extracted.
No. I mean, the truth of the matter is, that's been the history of my career. Do you know what I mean? It's like they're always altered. I mean, and so I don't have a problem with that. I mean, New York Magazine, I mean, think about it. It's like now they show photos, but there's a period where, you know, it was always an illustration of the photo, or it was an illustration collage of your photos. The New Yorker always, you know, kind of uses the photos. I mean, that's one thing. I have no problem with that.
Mm-hmm. When they do an illustration of your photo, do you still get credit for it? Do they still give you a photography credit?
Sometimes. I mean, the New Yorker, and I don't know, but I can't remember about the New Yorker, because that's been a while, but the New York Magazine, you know, always was like based on it was from photo John Marcus or whoever. So, yeah.
And they do, New York Magazine does a version of what we did on our website on the back page, right? Well, they'll take an image and it'll have four people in it, and they'll just take one of the people or their legs or their half their face, or like, which is what Liza did on our website. She like extracted things. And
I mean, as long as it's kind of not like artwork for sale, you know, whereas, because all the illustrations of my work that like I've seen, except for the occasional when people have to police, like, you know, the wicked calendar that someone's like making, or the Hamilton phone jacket, you know, of, you know, a photo where there's a copyright infringement. And, you know, because it's theater and there's so many unions, it's very complicated as to what can and can't be done with images. And especially in a commercial way, because they don't have the rights to use them in that way.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFF's creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary, and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFF's The Original New Musical from Shayna Taub is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at suffsmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on S.E. Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com.
We should actually stop and really introduce pretend like we haven't been talking with you for 20 minutes. Okay. So when we introduce you, act all like, wow, great to be here. No, you. I mean, you do you.
Well, I am thrilled to announce today's guest. She has a list of credits too long to list, and that is because she's photographed over 500 Broadway, off-Broadway, and regional shows over the last 32 years. You've probably heard of some of them. M. Butterfly, Crazy for You, Rent, The Lion King, Phantom of the Opera, all the way up to Mean Girls. Please join us in welcoming Tony Award winner and fellow George Washington University alumna, Joan Marcus.
Woo. Hi, Joan.
Hi.
Joan.
Welcome.
So glad you're here.
Thanks for having me here.
Oh, yeah. You guys both went to the same, Rob and Joan went to the same college.
Yes.
Yes.
University, sorry.
University, yeah. That's right.
Is there a mascot? Is it like go?
It's the Colonial.
The Colonials.
And then informally, there's a hippo.
There is?
That's a newer thing, I think.
That was not there when I was there.
I think that started in the 90s, yeah.
I love it.
The GW Hippos?
Hippo, yeah. Well, it's not the hippos, we're the Colonials, but there's a hippo statue on campus that is supposed to be good luck.
Where?
That's a confused message.
Right in front of Lisner Auditorium.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, check it out next time you're there.
I'm so glad you're here, Joan. I think you've photographed me at least 5 times.
I know I have.
Just, like, I feel like... And I think back for the last 25 years, you're always there. You know, you're
it's
just,
kind of incredible. It's really been amazing.
Wonderful. Yeah. Just your body of work.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Well, I was thinking, as we sort of mentioned before we got started, my entire life, it feels like. Every time I look at a production photo, there's a little copyright symbol and Joan Marcus. Mm-hmm. You've become sort of the photographer of Broadway. How does that feel?
Ooh. How does that feel? It's kind of amazing, actually. It feels kind of, because I never planned it to be that. You know, it just kind of was like an evolutionary kind of thing with like being at the right place at the right time, working hard, kind of having my kind of learning years outside of Washington in a way. I mean, outside of New York in a way in Washington, and then coming to New York and... I mean, it just kind of happened, and I kind of worked really hard, and now I can I look back on it, and it's like kind of amazing and weird at the same time because I'm old. All of a sudden, you know, you're kind of old.
It happens fast.
And it happens fast. It happens. It does.
Suddenly,
it happens. Suddenly, it happens
when you're not looking.
Yeah.
Right. Right.
It's weird.
500 shows have gone by.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have a strange question.
Sure.
When you've photographed shows, for example, I've seen you out in the audience where people sit, you know, in the house, as we call it, and sometimes you're up on a ladder or up on the armrest, and have you ever gotten hurt?
No. Oh, well, actually, but not from a ladder. I mean, and I've never actually really gotten hurt, but I've gone down, you know, on where, like, there's I've fallen, you know, where there's been, like, a cord or like I had a box to stand on and I forgot it was there and I ran down the thing and I went down. But I've never been hurt, which is kind of surprising.
Knock on
actually.
Wood.
Because I don't know if our listeners know that. It's not just a stagnant thing where you're standing there. To see the levels and heights you have to get to get the shot.
Well, it all depends on where you're shooting. Mm-hmm. You know, like what stage you're shooting at, what theater, how high the stage is. What it is you're shooting.
Walk us through what it, you know, when you shoot a show, you're not just standing in the back of the theater, obviously, but what is shooting a show look like? What does that entail?
It's funny. It's changed over the years in a way. It used to be when I first started shooting, I shot film, you know, and that was a really different beast than shooting digital because film... You know, it was very limiting in what you could and you couldn't do because it was slow. You know, it wasn't like the speed you can get with shooting with the digital cameras now and they're really high quality sensors, or you can shoot in really low light and get really good usable pictures. But in the days of film, there was a really bad film, EPJ, which was like a 320 ASA. And if you pushed it to 640, anybody who knows with photography, they'll know what that is. But you know, you would lose all your high, your low ends and your high ends. So, and you'd lose all your middle tones. You'd have no middle tones. So you had very contrasty pictures. Had to use a tripod. You had to clunk around so that they would be sharp, because you couldn't shoot, dance or with the speed that you shoot now. I don't know, with like your shutter speeds and stuff like that. So that was like a very different beast. Because of that, okay, you had like more opportunities to shoot, so there were always like run-throughs, and then there were setup calls, but they were also much more important than they are now, because that was what people saw of theater. That was it. Like, there was no Instagram, there was no Facebook, there were no cell phones, and if you had a camera, you had to have your film processed. And most people didn't do that. And then there was, like, you put them in your drawer or you showed them to your friends. But there was no outlet for it. Now, there's a lot of outlet for everything. So the production pictures aren't nearly as important as they once were. Production pictures are always taken now, but they're not necessarily the key images anymore, or they're not necessarily what people see, because, it'll be, actors... Instagram pages, or like what goes on backstage, or intermission at on Saturday at Hello Dolly or whatever. And so there's so many more images out there now that it's changed radically in terms of the priorities for production pictures. A big thing that's happened now is because of digital, like retouching used to be like with film really hard, because to do really good retouching, it was really expensive, like in a major way, like thousands of dollars, to do really good retouching. But now, it's like you have the legs from one picture, the head of someone from another picture, whereas like a lot of pictures would get, really good pictures would get thrown out. I mean, and maybe this isn't so truthful, but like you have a series of pictures where one person looks good in one person is grimacing in another one. Now you have the ability to change that and kind of make, in a way, better pictures. I mean, for what they are. Are they honest? Probably. You could argue and say no.
Well, as an artist, how do you feel about that?
It's what production photography is. Do you know what I mean? It's what production photography is. It's truth, but not the total truth. Like if someone's fat, they don't want to be fat, you're going to thin them down a little bit. Or, if someone's old or the lighting isn't flattering, you'll make it better. Mm. And so this isn't like journalism. This is sales and marketing for a show. I mean, many shows that I photograph that I don't feel translate to visually to what it really, what it is. Well, does that make sense?
It does. I wonder if it's a way, to say that maintaining some of the mystery can be important. In other words, the way it used to be, there was more excitement. Like, remember when Sound of Music would come out once a year? Or The Wizard of Oz was a once a year event. And when you're talking about the way things used to be photographed, you would wait for the production photos to come out, as opposed to this online instant gratification.
You see everything, so immediately. And I mean, what I always find for me, what's funny is, like, I can't do anything with my pictures. Do you know what I mean? It's like my pictures that get released, and I honor this always, is the ones that are approved by the producers, the designers, the actors. I don't release, on my portfolio, like you asked, I do have pictures that maybe aren't the approved pictures, but that's a different thing because they're not promoting the show, they're promoting me. And even then when I do it, I'm very careful about, someone who's sensitive about, like, their nose or their weight or whatever. now you just see everything so fast. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like
there's no mystery
anymore.
There's
no mystery anymore. So it really, mm-hmm. you know, puts the pictures, you know,
at a disadvantage.
At a disadvantage.
I think right. Scott Rudin's really good at maintaining mystery in shows.
Oh, I think he's a master at it.
He's very good. Like, yeah. At least one picture.
Yeah. So smart. Less is more sometimes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, I think there's an old school. I think he comes from an old school philosophy, and I think there's real value in that. Mm-hmm. I think the world is spinning fast, and I think it's okay to slow down every
once in a while. To exercise restraint.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And one of the key tools of the theater, one of the weapons that it has, is surprise.
Mm-hmm.
And as you were just saying, you know, if you give away a sight gag and a photo, then when it happens, it's not going to be funny because the audience already knows
right.
that that's a sight gag. Or, you know, if there's a set piece that's supposed to wow the audience, they see it in a photo, then
they're waiting for it.
They're waiting for it, right?
And
or they may not be.
Context matters, too.
Of course, yeah.
Do you know when you've gotten the shot, or do you have to look at it in post, and or is it both?
It's a combination of both. Like, there, first of all, like, how good a show is. It's no reflection on how good your pictures are. Like, sometimes the best shows have terrible pictures. And sometimes bad shows are the most fun to shoot. You know, I mean, there's just something about them that, you know, it's mm-hmm. like, whatever. You know, but you kind of know, like, you kind of know when it's working. But the best is when you get, like, a jewel, you know, like, when you get something that... And oftentimes you never see them because, you know, it's a moment that's given away or somebody didn't approve it. But it's really nice when you get the
I would love a book someday of your gem shots that maybe we haven't seen.
I mean, it's a lot of fun. It's fun, and it's fun to do it, and it's challenging, and sometimes it's frustrating.
Okay, I have to ask because we can't have you sit here and not ask, what is your favorite shot that you've done? Do you have a favorite?
Yeah, I guess it's my Angels in America picture that I took, just because...
Which I borrowed.
It just happened. You know, it was like one of those things that it was like the end of it, you know, a shoot that like... Mm-hmm. And it was like rush, 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 and then it ended up happening. And then the show and the picture, it just was like, for me, probably the most significant.
Is that your most famous shot, the one that has gotten the most attention?
The shows that got the most attention since I've been working were Angels in America, Lion King, Rent, Hamilton.
And the specific image is mm-hmm. that it's the angel above
Pryor.
Yeah. And then the Lion King, I would assume, is the animals walking. I don't know what kind of animal. I'll get in trouble for this. The giraffes walking. Yeah. Sorry.
But actually, the one that was like at the time that was like the most popular one was Rafiki mm-hmm. with the gazelles jumping
right.
in the sun.
Right, right. And then the Rent is, I would assume, Lovey Boam,
yeah.
right? Everybody. And not Wicked?
Wicked.
Oh, yeah.
Wicked.
Oh, did you say Wicked? Oh,
at
sorry.
The Wicked, too.
Oh.
Yeah, Wicked, too.
And that would be the two ladies. Wow. What's been your most difficult shoot? Or of those images, which was the hardest one to capture?
Let's see. I mean, it wasn't the most difficult, but it was difficult in that it was like... You wanted it to, like Lion King was difficult in a way because there was so much going on and it's so beautiful that you really wanted to catch, you know, to like, it was like pressure because you wanted to catch, you know, you wanted to really do it justice, you know, and because it was so visually like stunning. So in that way, that one was really hard.
Was there a show way back when that did it for you, that show that made you want to work in the theater? It can be anything when you were a kid. It could be your first Broadway show.
My first Broadway show, was Funny Girl.
Wow.
It was my first trip to New York with my parents when my sister and I were little, and we went to see Funny Girl with Barbra Streisand. We stayed at the New York Hilton, and we went to the Ed Sullivan Show, and we saw The Supremes.
Oh my!
What a trip!
Oh, God.
Wow. Okay.
What did they sing?
They sang "Baby Love." Okay, and they were wearing—if you saw Motown, okay—the pink dresses. You know those pink dresses. You know the.
My heart and leave me sad. Tell me, what did I do wrong to make you stay away so long? Cause baby,
I'm obsessed with the Supremes. I know I say that a lot. I'm obsessed about a lot of things. Yeah. But I am truly, truly over the moon for the Supremes. I know you have to go.
No, I'm fine. I just have to be there at 3:30, so okay. I'm fine.
So anyway, Funny Girl,
Ed Sullivan.
Hilton,
we ate it.
And what was the experience of Funny Girl?
It was, truthfully, I don't even remember it, okay? But I knew we were doing something very special. You know, I was little. I mean, I was, you know, probably 8, you know, but I knew it was very special. And the Supremes, I mean, I knew Ed Sullivan was really special.
Joan Marcus is a 2014 Tony winner. Now you may be wondering, wait, I didn't realize photographers can win a Tony Award. Well, the specific honor she received is the Tony Honor for Excellence in the Theater. In addition to the competitive categories you're used to for acting, writing, design, and direction, the Tony Awards Administration Committee also awards several varieties of special honors to deserving individuals or institutions. You may not be as familiar with them, and that's because most, if not all, are given out before the annual telecast or else during commercial breaks. Every year since 1976, the Tonys have honored a regional theater with an award. The Isabel Stevenson Tony Award is presented to a member of the theater community who has made a substantial contribution of volunteered time and effort on behalf of one or more humanitarian, social service, or charitable organizations. In 2015, the Tony Awards and Carnegie Mellon University partnered to create the Excellence in Theater Education Award, which honors a K-12 theater educator in the United States, recognizing the vital role that theater teachers play in creating the next generation of industry professionals and audience members. This year's recipient was Melody Hertzfeld from Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School in Parkland, Florida. Perhaps the most well-known special Tony is the Tony Award for Lifetime Achievement in the Theater, which was given to Cheetah Rivera and Andrew Lloyd Webber in 2018. The committee also has the leeway to award what is simply called a Special Tony Award, which they use from time to time to recognize extraordinary contributions to a particular season. This year's recipients were John Leguizamo and Bruce Springsteen, both of whom had one-man shows on Broadway. But back to Joan's award. The Tony Honor for Excellence in the Theater was created in 1990 with the very specific aim of having a way to recognize the achievements of individuals and organizations that are not otherwise eligible to be nominated in any of the regular competitive categories and tend to make their contributions over many years and many seasons. These are the types of creative industry professionals, like Joan, who labor behind the scenes to make Broadway work, but so often don't get the credit they deserve. The award can also be presented to institutions and organizations like Broadway Cares, Equity Fights AIDS, the National Endowment for the Arts, and the BMI Lehman Engel Musical Theater Workshop. Awards have gone to such varied industry professionals as wig and hairstylist Paul Huntley, animal trainer Will Berlone, and costume beater Bessie Nelson. One notable awardee is Broadway press agent Adrian Brian Brown, who received the honor in 2015. I point that out because he just so happens to be married to Joan Marcus, who beat him to the honor by 1 year. Joan is one of 3 photographers to be recognized since 1990. Legendary dance and theater photographer Martha Swope, who documented over 800 productions in her lifetime, was the first in 2004. Joan followed in 2014, and just this year, New York Times culture photographer Sarah Krolwich received the honor. Theater is an intensely visual art form, and it's also ephemeral. And so it makes sense that these 3 giants of photography would be recognized for the essential role that they have played in capturing history.
Rob here. That's our show. Thanks for listening. The Fabulous Invalid is a production of O&M Etc. and The Fabulous Invalid LLC. Our theme music is by Lucky Chops, who are currently on tour, so check out their website, luckychops.com, for info and dates. Today's episode was edited and engineered by Aaron Kaufman. Find us online at thefabulousinvalid.com and on social media at Fabulous Invalid. And listen to us on Stitcher, SoundCloud, Podbean, and our website. And be sure to tune in next Wednesday.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but yeah. Not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.